Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up the Spirit. My name is Celeste Elliott. I am your host, and I am here every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. to talk about spirituality, spiritualism, the Lilydale Assembly. As always, I have my special co-host, Coffee. and my even more special co-host, friend, neighbor, Patricia Price. So welcome, Patricia.
Well, thank you, and good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad that you can be here today. I know this is not your first adventure with Lilydale Radio, so I'm glad to have you over into my corner of the universe, as it were. So Patricia is, like I said, she's a special co-host. You have been in Lilydale now for... did you tell me almost like 50 years?
52 years ago, I came to Lilydale. For 10 years, I just came as a visitor, took classes, went to church, walked around the grounds and enjoyed the serenity of the ground, the people, that I met over here. So 10 years later, I bought a house, and here I am.
And here you are, yeah. And of course, Patricia is no stranger to anybody who has been to Lilydale before, because you are, in addition to a resident, you have been a registered medium through the years. You have you founded the City of Light Spiritualist Church. And what's the reason behind the name of City of Light?
Oh, yes. Well, our president of the assembly in 1903, Abby Fenningill, she renamed Lilydale. And, of course, it wasn't even Lilydale at that time. It was the Cassadaga Lake Association. And she said, I want to rename this place the City of Light because I want to serve people in sorrow and I want to bring them to upliftment. You know, she was just instrumental. And talk about, you know, today we see women in politics, but 1903, that was, that was great. And, of course, we have a history here in Lilydale of promoting women. And I know many people that I know have houses with deeds from the 1800s that are in women's names. So we, of course, in the women's suffrage movement was very active here. Susan B. Anthony spoke on our platform. And so it was, it's just exciting to be part of this whole movement for women and for men, but, because spiritualism was started by a group of people here in Lilydale. Lilydale was started by a group of people called the Freethinkers Association of Chautauqua County.
Yeah.
And they used to meet up at Leona, and they talked about things that they couldn't talk about to their neighbors and friends usually. Things like women's right to vote, mesmerism, which mesmerism, eventually went into hypnosis, and then mesmerism also went into trance work, the physical mediumship, for healing. And some very famous spiritual healers in the 1800s came through that movement. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, we have a very, very interesting history here. And, one of the things I like to point out is that you're right. I mean, women were allowed to be involved from the very beginning. They were allowed a voice, which is very, very unique. But we do have men. People ask me sometimes, do you have to be a woman to live in Lilydale? Or do you have to be a woman that is connected to a man in Lilydale? And I'd say no. you can just, be yourself. That's the point of spiritualism. Be yourself. we also, you don't have to be a medium or a healer just a spiritualist to live here.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was one of the things that impressed me, that there were so many, there was so much leadership with women in the religion.
Yeah.
I can estimate there's probably 80-85% of the clergy in spiritualism are women.
Yeah.
And I admired that as I came in to see Lilydale and experienced the church here. There was only one church when I started, and I also helped to found this, Living Spirit, Church of Living Spirit, with a few other people, and we were so excited about having a church that was, I guess, more open-minded and more accessible to everyone. So not that there's anything, you know, I was perfectly grateful to the NSAC church here when I first started, and that was the only church here. But we came along to found the Church of Living Spirit, and then eventually I was so wanting to have pets involved too with the church. So a board of us, a group of us, started the City of Light Spiritualist Church, and we love to have pets attend. So we had pets coming in. We had big birds, and we had cats and dogs, of course. And we even had a potbelly pig. She still comes once in a while. So we've had lizards, and we have a turtle that, under the turtle, comes on a regular basis. especially these days of COVID, pets have become more and more important to people and their health, their mental health, their physical health.
Yeah.
I know I get out every day with my Boanne dog and walk, and she's an inspiration, as you know. And some, if you walk around Lilydale, you'll see cats even being walked. Some people walking in their cat behind them. And the City of Light Spiritualist Church, we really recognize pets as souls and as sentient beings, as well as people, and how important animals are to us, even wild animals, of course. We are all one, and the creator creation is one of our themes. So, yes, absolutely, we are so blessed to be able to express our beliefs here in Lilydale and in the churches that we've formed. And it's wonderful to have three churches on the ground, and then Fellowships of the Spirit is right outside the gate, that we have a choice. And actually, you could attend a lot of church services in one Sunday.
Yeah.
Our church service is at 5:30 in the evening on the last Sunday of the month. And of course, we have the other two churches on the grounds that meet at 10:30 in the morning on Sundays, every Sunday. And then Fellowships of the Spirit that meets at 6 at night. I think now they're doing a fireside chat, and I'm not sure.
Yes.
Do you know what time that is?
I want to say that is at 7 o'clock.
Okay. And I have watched some of those.
Yes.
I'm human. They're wonderful. So we have such a variety and an opportunity for people to get lots of exposure to ideas and philosophies, the wonderful speakers that speak at the churches, and then the mediumship that is expressed, the spiritual healing that's always included, and the fellowship. At our church, at the Zoom meeting, after the service, we have a little fellowship. So we are on Zoom and talking with each other and showing each other pets. And it's a nice format to just get together in a friendly, non-structured way with people who are interested in spiritualism in our church and pets and so on.
One of the best things that has happened during the pandemic and moving a lot of the churches online is one of the services I was attending. The guy had a cockatoo that was on his shoulder.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. So they're playing and they're singing, and it's peace like a river, and the cockatoo starts dancing, moving around. It was like,
yes.
This is a good time.
Yeah, that's
so, Yeah, they really, they know how to keep our spirits up, you know, so.
They do, absolutely.
Yeah, and we're so lucky to be surrounded by, you know, so much nature here and so much beauty being, if my friends ask me what I'm doing, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I moved to a village on top of a mountain beside a lake.
Yeah.
I'm communing with spirit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things too about Lilydale is I was impressed. I was impressed with the Leland Woods. And of course, that's a small area. We have other woods here, other forests here that aren't protected, but our Leland Woods is protected because it is an old growth forest. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand, and I'm glad there's more education happening. We've got some signs up that explain that we don't bring anything into that beautiful, pristine area,
right.
And we don't leave anything, and we don't take anything out. We want to leave it as it is, an old growth forest. And, you know, we've had people from Japan and Europe come to see our forest, the Leland Woods.
Yeah.
And because it is, it's an old growth, a hardwood forest. It's not like the cedars out in the Pacific West, but it is unique because this area was logged in the early days, because they wanted to clear the land for crops, mm-hmm. and for grazing, for pastures, and they also wanted to get the wood for income. So this is so unique to have this little patch of woods that was never forested, never harvested. And there's across the lake, there's a place called the Red Brick House.
Yes.
And over there, they have a picture from the 1800s that somebody went up in that cupola,
mm-hmm.
and took a picture of the, over the lake. And you can see the Leland Woods is the only standing trees. It's all forested all around. I've got to get a copy of that picture.
Oh, that's amazing.
It tells the story of how very special our Leland Woods is.
Yeah.
And how we need to preserve it and not take anything in and not take anything out, to leave it, because there are species of plants and mushrooms and fungus and even trees that are very rare, and animals and insects that are very rare live in our Leland Woods. So, you know, just nature-wise, we are so blessed. And, of course, our other standing forest is beautiful, too. We have hiking trails, mm-hmm. and they're very special places in those woods where the kids play. And,
yes.
You know, you talk to people my age in their 70s and even their 80s that played in those woods when they were young and loved to be there in nature. So having the lake nearby, it's a very special place. And no wonder I've stayed for 52 years. Yeah. Out in Lilydale because I'm a nature buff, too.
Yeah.
And we are so blessed to have people who admire nature and who have preserved those woods. And again, that patch of land was sold to Lilydale with the provision that we would not harvest wood there. And when I was in my 20s here, I heard that story. My teachers told me the story about that the Leland Woods was sold, and then there was a promise that we would never log there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that promise. And in my late 20s, there was talk of harvesting because of money. We were in trouble and we needed to harvest some of those trees. They were worth a lot of money, thousands of dollars. And I didn't know what to do because I was young and I didn't want to make big waves and get in people's way. So I actually had a spirit message from higher guidance that said, Patricia, do ceremony. I can tell you the whole story because it's really short.
Yeah.
Barbara Hanfow.
Oh, yes.
And she taught for a weekend, and then she offered the community a special channeling in the assembly hall. And she said, I will channel this evening, and the assembly members or the community can come to the assembly hall and watch and ask questions. So she laid down in front of us on the front, and she said, okay, you know, when I get into trance, ask me questions. So I stood up and just like in the middle of the meeting and said, what can we do to preserve our Leyland Woods?
Yes.
And the channel, I think it was a consul, the channel said, do ceremony. Alert people to the preciousness of this land and these trees and this forest. And alert the elementals in the forest to come forward and love them.
Yeah.
And so so I thought, oh, how crazy. Why did I ask a question, all this woo-woo stuff, and I wanted a real answer. I wanted lawyers. And so I went home and meditated, and my angels came through and said, no, that's true. You do ceremony. You have at that time I was doing a solstice ceremony in the Leyland Woods it was an Easter sunrise service. I was doing an Easter sunrise service in the Leyland Woods at the stump every year. And they said, do it at your Easter service. So, of course, we tromped out in the woods. Sometimes it's very cold out there on Easter morning.
Yes.
And we tromped out there, and that was the year that I presented the idea of honoring the woods and the elementals that were there, and really getting the history of Lilydale out. And then that summer, every summer meeting I did, I honored the woods when I was out at the stump. So, yeah, and then all of a sudden things started to move, and at the annual meeting I asked that we had a tree committee started, and especially that we would pay attention to the Leyland Woods. And so things started to roll, and the history started to get out again. And so, you know, again, we spiritualists, and of course the pet cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
We are people who honor pets. We are people who honor nature and all beings, creator, creation.
Yeah. I've been watching some of the comments come through because we're on the Facebook, and actually some of them are about you and about how you light up when you talk about animals and nature. So, you know, know that your energy is shining through as we're talking.
Good.
So
all
thank
good.
You. I did want to ask you a little bit about your work in addition to being one of our spiritual leaders here, of course. There were questions about, actually, you know what, before we even get into that, because I know what you're talking about when you say alert the elementals that live in the forest, talk to them. But we get questions about this all the time. And you literally wrote the book on special spaces in Lilydale, vortexes in Lilydale. And do you mention the elementals in that? Do you feel that they kind of, well, first off, I should ask you, what is your definition of an elemental? And then I should ask you, do you feel that they help with keeping and restoring the energy?
Oh, absolutely. I do believe that, and I know that. In my book, the book is pictures of the vortexes and just, you know, a few paragraphs on each vortex, so it doesn't go into a lot of detail, but I am shifting gears. You know, this is a time to shift gears in everybody's life, and I'm 73 now, so I'm putting my business in order and what I do in order, and then I'm going to do more writing. And so I will be writing more about elementals in the future. But definitely elementals are a wonderful part of our awareness. And of course the fairies, you know, we have a fairy trail here in
Lilydale.
And it's marvelous. I mean, my nieces, we took my brother and his wife and my two little nieces came to Lilydale one time to see the fairy trail. And my brother took pictures of them. And we got to it was the old fairy trail. And we got to the bottom of the hill. And he was like, he's a really good photographer, knows a lot about photography. And he got to the bottom of the hill. He said, come here. He said, what are these? And he showed me these orbs around my one niece. Mm-hmm. And he said, I've counted. And there's like 30 of these circles here around our little Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, those are the fairies showing up. And he said, I can't believe it. But he said, I've taken 40 other pictures, and this is the only one. And she was leaning down, putting a penny in one of the little fairy houses, and all these fairies showed up, you know, on the film. And then he got home, and he said, oh, I've counted now a little less than 50 of these light orbs alert the Yaka. He said, how many fairies do you have down there?
Yeah.
I said, well, hundreds.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they show up. And people have sighted them. People have photographed them. Yeah. We have, you know, documentation. And, you know, again, you can believe it or not, but they certainly are active. One of my friends, actually two of my friends, they were students, became friends in California, because
mm-hmm.
I used to go to California every year for 17 years and teach.
Yeah.
And two of my students came out here, and they taught at the church. And then we were having dinner one night, and they said, well, do you have fairies here in Loyola? And this was before the fairy trail. And I said, yes. You know, they've been sighted in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I took a class in Arizona, a men's class, and the American Indian host who was teaching the class said, my brother will be here soon, and he knows how to bring fairies forward. I mean, this is a circle of men at night. And he said, how many of you are interested in seeing some sightings, some fairies? And he said, everybody in the group said, sure, you know, we'll be there.
We'll play along.
So the brother came, and they went out to a certain spot in the desert. And he said, here's my sacred tobacco. And he crushed the tobacco, and he threw it out. He said, this is for the fairies. This is for your pipes. And this is specially sacred tobacco. And then they had brought sweets. So they brought little candies and cakes and things and crumbs of cakes, and they put it out on a plate. And they said, here's sweets for the fairies. And he said, we saw fairies. Okay. And he said, it was after midnight. It was just after midnight. And he said, well, let's do that here in Lilydale. So we went out by the Memorial Garden and sat together. There was probably about six of us. And sat, and I said, I've got some organic tobacco that one of my students grew for me in Pennsylvania. We'll bring that. And we had two wonderful pies for dessert. So we brought little pieces of pie and some candies and things and put them on a plate. And we sat there just after midnight.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, these lights came up, and they weren't like fireflies that were lightning bugs that were quick. They were very sustained. It was like they would get bright, and then they would retreat. And so we noticed the difference and said, well, those must be fairies.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, out of my left eye, I saw, first someone said, I wonder if there's a fairy queen. And then all of a sudden, out of the left side of my eye, I saw a big pink light go, just like the white lights. And I said, did anyone see that? And somebody next to me said, yes, that was a big pink light. And I said, that must have been the fairy queen. Far out stories, but people who know me know I started in science and mathematics. So I'm not easily fooled, and I am skeptical. And I, you know, when I was 2 years old, I was seeing spirit, and my parents were saying, don't talk about that. You know, and when I got really jabbery about 3 or 4, I was, you know, telling people, and they said, please, in front of company, do not talk about that. You know, and my aunt said they were ready to take me to a child psychologist because they thought I was going off the edge. But, and then when I was 10, I had an experience with an angel and a personal experience that was, you know, beyond things that could be unreal. So
yeah.
I know that there is an unseen world, but my parents were not in alignment, and my community was not in alignment with that. So I went into science and mathematics. So, you know, the people that know me know that I don't go off on tangents of the unreal.
Yes.
But certainly things have been proven to me, and elementals is one thing that's been proven to me. We went to Ireland. I took a group to Ireland. And we did the same thing after midnight. We did the same thing in Ireland, and we had no experience. And I told the guide, I said, why didn't we have an experience of fairies? You know, we do in the United States. And he said, oh, fairies are tricksters here. They're naughty. And I said, oh, no wonder, because I always ask for only the highest and best to be present and raise the vibration. So those naughty fairies did not show up in Ireland. So I was really astounded at that. But now I've read some books. I read some novels even where the Irish, you know, Irish writers will say, you know, it was the naughty fairies that did that or whatever.
I wonder sometimes in human fairy relations over the eons, because we have very, very old Celtic lore about the wee people and the fairies and all manner of elementals. And the fairies, you know, like you said, the reputation is that they're very naughty.
Well, in other countries, I've never heard that until I went to Ireland.
Oh,
you heard that here?
I heard that. Well, because I gravitate towards a lot of Celtic.
Oh yes, so that would be
Celtic and Nordic mythology so I thought that was very funny, but because they don't have the reputation here. You know, here it's they're honored as, you know, as angels are honored. But I just wonder if it's what at some point after hundreds of years of being blamed for things, the fairy community in Ireland didn't say, well, we're only going to show up if we can mess with them because they're going to blame us anyway. So that's who you get. You get the delegation of of ones that are willing to take the cakes and eat you.
The opposite too. My experience here in Lilydale is we've only honored fairies as wonderful and bringing joy and enlightenment.
Yes.
So as we did that, as we started to honor the wee people, as we started to honor elementals, more were visible to us. They became more populous. And, you know, years ago, we had the class Elves 101. A man from Iceland came and taught us about elves. And that was absolutely fascinating because even today you can read stories about Iceland where the government will make roads around elves' villages.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, this is just commonplace stuff that, you know, we're not going to mess with an elf village. We're going to build the road around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And he came and told us all the folklore and all the experiences of elves. And again, more as he taught that class and we took that class and started talking about the elves, there were more experiences with the elves. And again, even in Iceland, there are stories of elves that interfere. But there are also stories of elves saving people's lives, enhancing people's lives in so many ways. So it is fascinating. Again, it's part of the unseen world. With people in Lilydale, we recognize that. We explore it. As I said, I'm very skeptical. So everything's had to be proven to me over the 52 years that I've been here. And but the elementals, yes, I know. Mm-hmm. I have part of my front yard is myrtle and ivy and plants from the forest. And one of my neighbors said, aren't you going to get that landscaped, you know, after I bought the house? And I said, no, there's elementals there that don't want me to touch it.
Yeah.
It's pristine. That's where they live. That's where they talk to people that sit on my bench that I do readings for. People will say, there's fairies there, or there's a little gnome that lives there. So it's they are prevalent, and again, it's something that if your perception is not open to it, you're not going to experience it.
Right.
But if you ask for it to be proven to you, it will be.
Yeah.
So it's delightful in this country, and for me, it's delightful. I've had people that have had readings with me that have been told that they will write a children's story about an elf or about a fairy or about a gnome or a nymph. And certainly they emailed me back and said, I just wrote a book and it's a children's book about the elementals. So an adult, you know, who reads children's books? adult. Children books to their children.
Yeah.
And again, it's very uplifting. It brings us joy. And don't we need more of that in this world? And
you said it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Very healing. It's elemental to me, and in the experience I've had here in Louisville, have always been healing and uplifting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what's interesting, even even the Native Americans who lived and continue to live in this area, the Iroquois Nation, Seneca Nation, they even they have their own stories and ways of honoring the elementals, just like you were, because I almost forgot that you said out in Arizona. So sorry. So I made the point. But that's wonderful. So I wanted to ask you, first, actually, I wanted to address some of the questions coming in on Facebook, which are very easy. Lilydale is open. We are in, you know, New York State. We are in stage four, so we are, people can come and walk the grounds. We do ask that you, you know, if you're going to get near anybody, that you wear a mask, that sort of thing. And we do suggest that you make an appointment if you're coming to see a medium, because if, you know, we think we have the day off, we might decide to lounge in our sweatpants or go off and do our grocery shopping or something. So, you know, a heads up is good. So we can prepare virtually, mentally, you know, and also do our hair and makeup, right? So, bonus. So I can read just as clearly without the extra, but. yes, and we are also doing online classes over the winter, and that is something that is sort of expanding now. Last summer was the first time we really did online classes, and we are off and running. So next summer there will be both, but right now there are online classes. And part of why Patricia is here today is because I wanted to get her to talk about exactly that. So excellent lead-in, people who on Facebook. Thank you for that. So you are doing a very, very fun class next Saturday, I believe, not this Saturday, but the following, on ribbon braiding. So tell us about how you found out about ribbon braiding, because that's a different one. That's fun.
Yeah, you know, I can't tell you how many years ago it was. It was at least 30 years ago that a woman named Joan England came to Lilydale to visit because she'd heard about it. She lived in England.
Nice.
And as she came to visit and got to know us, she loved us and loved Lilydale. So she never went back to England. She rented a place and she became a medium here. And she did a little class for us in ribbon braidings because that's something we'd never heard about. And of course, she was interested in all the things she'd never heard about. Even though spiritualism started here in the United States, mm-hmm. England, spiritualism is really big.
Yes.
And so she was used to what they had there and loved what she found here and came to visit and came to teach us a lot of things. And there's even a little garden for her, a rock garden across from the Maplewood Hotel, named for her, and there's a little plaque in her honor.
Nice.
So, yes, Joan England taught us to do ribbon readings. And so over the years, I have taught my students to do ribbon readings, and it's been quite a while.
Mm.
And I thought, you know, it's time. Maybe it was, who knows, maybe it was Joan. Because she does show up from time to time, but a lot of fun. And, you know, when we're relaxed, when we're having fun, mediumship is easy.
Yes.
So we're going to do evidential mediumship in the class, and we're going to connect with our spirit loved ones through the ribbons, and then if people want to connect with other things also in the unseen world, you know, angels come through and spirit guides, and there's, you know, any, who knows, we may have a fairy or an elf, but mostly we're going to do connection with the deceased, with our spirit loved ones. And I'll just give you an example. I've got the ribbons right over there, but it's a bundle of ribbons that are all the colors of the rainbow. And it starts with a black ribbon, goes to a red ribbon, an orange ribbon, a yellow ribbon, and then to the green ribbon, and the blue ribbon, and the cobalt blue, and then the violet, and then white. So we'll have 9 ribbons to start. And my bundle has other colors because I love other colors. But to start at the basics, to start at the basic rainbow colors in black and white, because black or some earth color would absorb all the vibrations of color, and then white would reflect all. And of course, being in science, I know that every color has a vibration. And so using the different vibratory rates and using the symbolism of each color. So I had a student here the other day, and I was talking about that we're going to do this. And she said, well, how does that work? And so I brought my ribbons out. And I said, okay, we're going to raise the vibration, ask for the highest and best. And now I'm going to tune in, and I'm holding the ribbons, and I'm going to ask who's here that would like to communicate with us. Yeah. And so I felt the ribbons, and I was drawn to one of the ribbons with my eyes closed, and I picked an orange ribbon, and I saw a woman in spirit with, you know, we call it red hair, but it's orange. It was a redhead, and
one of my people
spirit that wants to say hello. And then she said, I'm Clara Dahlke. And Clara Dahlke was the medium that read in this house before I came here.
Yes.
So she was the medium, Clara Dahlke, that owned this house before I did, and read in this house for years, and was a member of the community. And she came in and gave us a message, because, of course, it was a student.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had a message for both of us about mediumship and about her love for Lilydale and her family and so on. So, that was just one way of connecting.
Right.
One time I, again, closed my eyes and asked who's there, and drew a ribbon that was powder blue. And immediately I felt my mother. That was her very favorite color. And she made it known to everyone that that was her favorite color. She wore that color often. She looked wonderful in powder blue. So she came through on the vibration of her favorite color.
Yes.
So there's just so many, and we'll talk about that in class, so many ways that we can connect and get that first impression of in mediumship, that first impression of who's there, how they're communicating with us through color.
Yeah.
And years ago, I was sitting in class with Sherry Lee Calkins. We developed together down the street in Buffalo Street here with Clyde and Hannah Yoder. They were our teachers, and we went every week to circle there.
Right.
And Sherry Lee and I did not know each other. We did not know each other's families. I was from about 25 miles away. I had lived in California for a long time,
mm-hmm.
came back here taking classes. I didn't know Sherry Lee. So when we gave each other messages, we really, and gave feedback, we really knew it was real because we didn't know each other.
Yeah.
But she had introduced me to a band of helpers in spirit, spirit guides called the Color Ray Workers. And the Color Ray Workers, I asked them to work with me from that point on. And it's been a marvelous journey because they will help spirit give me a color that will relate to them and the meaning of that color for them so that I can give the message. Because we know that in mediumship, it's not like reading a newspaper. We have to read the symbols and the vibrations. Everything has vibration.
Yeah.
So to tune into that vibration, it's easy with color because each color has its separate and unique vibratory rate.
Right.
So it's going to be very exciting and very easy and lots of fun to do our ribbon readings next at the 23rd.
Yes.
And I know people have already signed up, and I do trust that those of you that are interested will sign up and be with us on that Saturday, because we are going to have fun. And again, this is something you can do with people at a dinner party or on Zoom. You can do it on Zoom with your family and friends. The ribbon readings are something that translates into fun with people that, again, my family, you know, they weren't convinced. Some of them were upset I was over here in Lilydale, but over the years they've really come into it. And some of the things that we do, like ribbon readings or have a circle, my family has attended. And even my young niece, in her 20s, she's 21, I think now, her fiance, her boyfriend at the time, at a summer gathering we had with the family, asked for a reading. So I was like, oh my.
Oh.
You know? Yes. My nieces and nephews and brothers bring people over here to Lilydale, and they have positive experiences. And people I taught school for 10 years at Beams Point, the Maple Grove, and my colleagues, I of course never talked about religion in the classroom, but they knew I was from Lilydale. So many of my colleagues asked if they could come over to church, and they would come over with their wives or their friends, and we would go to church, and they'd get out of church and say, that was just like my church service, except you did mediumship and healing.
Yep.
But we sang the same songs. We sing the same songs. We say some of the same prayers you do.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, they're so much like us, and yet there's these little differences. They said we really had a nice experience. Yeah. So I know one of my colleagues said that he was told that if you get too close to the channel in Lilydale, that the mediums grab you and read your palms. And I said, well, you know, we don't even read poems here. We don't do anything but mental mediumship. And no one would grab you and do anything like that. You've got to come over to Lilydale and, you know, see what it's really like.
Yeah.
He came over with his wife and his friends. And we went to the auditorium. It was summer.
Yeah.
And he just raved. He said, the spiritual, so loving.
Yeah.
He said, I'm coming back and experiencing more.
Right.
And he was a really conservative, he was a social studies teacher, and always made fun of a lot of stuff.
Right.
But he really said, you know, this is really spiritual, and I enjoyed it. So, you know, it is a lot, you know, I was born in Chautauqua County, and my family would talk about Lilydale and say things like, it's the work of the devil, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what is that? But then I also had friends who lived with their grandfather. Mm-hmm. I had schoolmates. And my mom was really good friends with their mom. So we would go over there. And their grandfather was one of the kindest men I ever knew. He taught my brothers to fish. He was always giving us vegetables from his organic garden.
Mm-hmm.
He was just so kind and so wonderful that I loved him. I loved George. And one time I asked we used to go to the Methodist church, and of course everybody showed up on Easter and Christmas.
Right.
But my friend's grandfather never showed up. And I asked my friend one time, I said, why doesn't your grandfather ever come to church? And she said, oh, he's a spiritualist. He helped put the cement cap on the stump at Lilydale. And I thought, the stump, what's that? But, you know, and then so I heard one thing from my family and people in, you know, in the country. And I heard another thing from this wonderful man that I knew lived a great life and was living in loving kindness.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, when my friend from California came out and said, let's go to Lilydale and get my fortune told. I said, well, I don't know. I've heard mixed things about Lilydale.
Right.
And she said, well, I want to go. So we went over and knocked on the door. John White's house used to be owned by a man called Dr. Bernie from New York City. That was his summer home. And we knocked on the door, and he came to the door, and he said, can I help you, young ladies? And my friend said, I want my fortune told. And he said, well, we don't do that here, but I'd be happy to give you a reading.
Yeah.
She said, okay. And he said, well, what about you? And I said, no, I'll wait in my vehicle. So she was so confused about life. She was 19.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I don't know when I go back to California. I don't know who my friends are. I don't know what I'm going to be doing.
Right.
And she came out of that reading glowing and saying, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know what I'm going to do when I go back to California. I feel so much better. And I thought, wow, if in a half hour you can get those kinds of answers. And my husband and I sat there in the truck and said, we're taking our gas money out of the glove compartment, and we're having a reading. So we went and had a reading, too.
Nice.
And that was the beginning of me coming over to Lilydale.
Nice. Wow. That's I was going to ask you if you found spiritualism in California or you found it here, but obviously you found it right here in Chautauqua County, so that's perfect. So right here in Lilydale, yeah. Oh, wow. I love hearing people's stories and how they, you know, what brought them to and what, you know, how they practice, because everybody practices differently, you know. We have neighbors that their practice is their daily meditation, walking the ground. We have neighbors that their practice is spiritual healing every day and sitting and sending out energy. And I need about three of those to help me with my garden this summer. I started last summer and, well, pandemics happened. So what are you going to do, you know? So, but, you know, there's just so many aspects to it and so many different ways to practice within that same faith and that same, I don't even know that I want to say faith, but that loving understanding. So thank you for sharing that. That's fantastic. I should mention because we've got about 15 minutes left, and I always try to tell people, you know, we have now 5 shows on the Lilydale Blog Talk channel, so do check out the other shows. We've got Medium Mondays with Sharon Hill at noon. We've got Embracing Your Essence with Colleen VanderZeiden Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Wednesdays, we have 2 shows. We have Wednesdays with Willa in the morning at 10 a.m. And we have Journey into the Light with John White at 8 p.m. And, of course, I'm here on every Thursday. And then Angie Apt has Fridays at noon, Spiritual Conversations, Angie and Friends. So you can check all of those out. Check out all the offerings on lilydaleassembly.org. There is a class this weekend, Patricia's class next weekend. We've got stuff going on, and the 2021 summer season, all of that, the classes and things are going to be put up on the website soon. There is going to be a print catalog this year, so that's going to be going to the printers. If it's not already there, I'm out of the loop, so it may already be there. Wouldn't surprise me. So there's a lot going on. And so we had 2 mediumship questions, if you don't mind. If anybody wanted to call in real quick, you can. Oh, we do have a caller, actually. Let's see what their question is, and then we'll go back to Facebook. So, okay. All right. So caller 0888, could you give us your name and where you're calling from, please? Good morning. Hello, caller, can you hear us? Okay, maybe not. All right, well, we can try to come back to them a little bit later, but that's all right. So there were 2 questions on Facebook related with mediumship. If you are up to fielding such things. One is a question from somebody who says that they had a fairly strong mediumship practice going, maybe not professionally, they're not saying that, but then they felt like it has faded a bit. And so they're wanting to kind of rebuild that. And they're wondering if you have tips or information about how to kind of rebuild their practice.
Yes, I really would say that meditation is at the core of our mediumship, because it helps to focus the mind and clear the mind, which we need both of those. We need a focused mind and a clear mind so that spirit can work with us. So getting back to your meditation, when I teach mediumship, I have 5 concentration techniques. So really, at the beginning of your meditation, focusing on, if you don't during the meditation itself, but focusing on concentration. And one of the oldest techniques of concentration is the breath, of course, and I'm especially I've written books about breathwork, but tuning in and let everything else go in your mind except your breath, and paying attention to your inhale and your exhale. This is ancient. It's an ancient practice. But it's such a good practice because it brings us to focus and it brings us to a clear mind. Now, when I talk about a clear mind, that's the left brain. We're not analyzing, intellectualizing, or figuring things out.
Right.
We're letting go. We're allowing. And those of you that study with me know that even if you're an advanced student, I emphasize that because so many of us, like you say, you've practiced for years and then found that it fades. Well, we forget the basics, and that is absolutely the basics. And to tune in during our meditation time and training the brain to be clear of analyzing, intellectualizing, and figuring things out. Left brain functions. Go into the right brain function. Relaxing, letting go, allowing. And I think that that's one of the things that may be missing. And of course, our passion, our desire to do mediumship is another thing. And I know if that spark is gone, we need to rekindle it or kindle it in another direction because, you know, again, mediumship is connecting with the unseen world. Many artists do that. You know, you don't have to be on a platform or doing a phone reading to be a medium. Many, if your passion is being an artist, and maybe you've expressed your mediumship in readings, but you really have a passion to do something else, music, and you need to channel the mediumship by doing music or doing painting or writing children's books or writing books or poetry. I mean, all the wonderful arts, and I've even had people express through crafts. I have one of my mediums who went off and is doing paintings of the soul painting, and she's doing really well with it. So her mediumship is expressed through these paintings that she does for people to express the soul, the highest part of the soul, the self, with a capital S. So again, a second tip might be to explore your passion. Where is your passion? Is it still with doing mediumship the way you used to do it? Or, and especially now, this new era, this new time that we're living in, many of us are redefining ourselves. As I said, I'm really shifting gears into being more of a writer now. Mm. And so if you need to shift gears, follow your heart, follow your passion, follow your bliss, as Campbell used to say. And so that would be two tips going with that.
And on that same note, now you did mention, because this is another one of the questions, that you do phone readings as well as in person. So somebody doesn't have to be physically present in front of you for you to connect with them and their loved ones, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we work on, I'm going to mention it again, it's very scientific. We work on the vibratory rate, the vibration. Everything has vibration. Yeah. In science, we know if something doesn't have vibration, if the vibration stops, it disappears from the material world. So, and even things in spirit have vibration.
Right.
So, you know, a long time ago, a woman came to me in the summer, and she was delighted with her reading that she had face-to-face with me. And it was winter, and she called me, and she said, could you do a phone read for me? I said, I don't do that. She said, well, why not? And I said, I don't know. I just don't think I can do that. She said, well, I'm going to, you know, you do psychometry. I know that when I did a reading with you, you held my bracelet. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, I do that as a connection, yes. She said, I'm going to send you that bracelet, and I want you to do a phone reading. And I said, well, okay, but if it doesn't turn out, if you're not satisfied, I won't charge you.
Right.
So she sent me the bracelet. I did the reading. She said, right on, no problem. I want more phone readings in the future. So her friend called 2 days later and said, okay, I want a phone reading. So-and-so had a phone reading with you. And I said, I don't know. You'd have to send me something. She said, I can't wait. You got to do it now. I'm doing readings tomorrow. I could book you in tomorrow. But I said, again, I won't charge you because I don't know if I can do that without holding something.
Mm-hmm.
because your friend had a bracelet she sent me. She said, okay, I know, I want a reading from you. So the next day we did a reading, and she said, absolutely, there's no problem. You're doing fine. This is, the information I needed, the contacts I needed were there. No problem. So I started doing phone reading because it is. It's just a vibratory rate. And actually, a lot of my students say the same thing that I do, that it might even be better because there's no distractions. And I do close my eyes when I do readings, but there are other distractions when we're in person. But again, being with people is wonderful, and having a hug and being able to touch their hands. Actually, I'll tell you a little story about that, because I didn't come to Lilydale to be a medium. I came to Lilydale because I wanted to be free to walk my spiritual path and develop my spiritual path. I didn't want to set rules, and I wanted to be free. And I just wanted so much from spiritualism. And I wanted to, as I got here and started exploring, taking classes and so on, because natural law was another thing I wanted to know about. I knew about man's law, and I knew about physics and chemistry and things like that. I knew there was more. And when I heard people lecture about natural law, I wanted to know more about that. So as I was studying here, I was introduced to spiritual healing. And my teacher, Hannah Yoder, I was sitting in, she wanted me to sit in a circle to be a better channel for healing, because I wanted to be a spiritual healer. That's all I wanted to be. I didn't want to be a medium. And then I started to be able to give messages, and there was, you know, it's like just evolved. So, you know, we're all mediums. We're all, you know, in one way or another, we can all channel that energy from the unseen world, and from our angels, from our spirit guides, from our the ascended masters. There's so much wisdom that can come through for all of us. And absolutely. So was that answering that question?
That was perfect. Yes. That was yes, exactly right. So okay. So next question. In addition to your ribbon reading class, which, you know, not this weekend, but the following, and in addition to your church services, what else are you teaching? What else are you doing?
Okay, well, this Thursday night, I have a circle on Zoom and Facebook Live. It's open to everyone. No fee. If somebody wants to give a donation, fine, but there's no fee. And it's a universal spiritual circle online. So you can join us Thursday night, and that's at 7:30. I teach my mediums, the people who are taking my home study course for mediumship, I teach that on Zoom just for the mediumship students and the graduates. And this summer, it's very exciting. I've been doing this for years now, the week-long mediumship course, and so much fun. We take the whole 5 days, and we do we do all the things that are included in my home study courses, and they're given the home study course to work with if they'd like to become a certified medium. But we, you know, it's interesting because in those classes, and it was funny because Ray Buckman did an interview with me one summer, and during the interview, he said, oh, well, I understand that you do physical mediumship, Patricia. And I said, no, I don't do physical mediumship. I'm a mental medium. He said, now, wait a minute. I've heard many reports that you do physical mediumship. I don't think they're false. And I said, I don't think so. He said, well, what about the times in the circle you do transfusion? The pictures of it, they've shown me.
Yeah.
He said, oh, yeah, that's right. That is physical mediumship. And then he said, well, what about the cabinet? You teach people to use the medium's cabinet and do, again, spirit shows up beside the person and over the person's face and body.
Right.
That's physical mediumship, Patricia. I said, oh, yeah, that is. I made the connection. So, yes, and we have had from rare times. We've had apports. I had a woman come into my house to do a circle one night, and she sat down. And during the circle, she said, Patricia, there's something under my seat here on the couch in between. It's just, I'm together. She said, could we have the light on? What is this? And it was an apport of a little statue. And I said, I have never seen that. That did not come from me. And she said, well, I know it came from spirit, because this is the statue of something that's very dear to me. So, you know, from time to time, it isn't something phony or made up or something you could buy on Amazon or from a little junk shop. It was from spirit. And so, yes, we're going to do that whole week of wonderful, not every, you know, physical mediumship, all kinds of mediumship as a week long. And people love that format. And then they go on, they may go on to be a certified medium, or they just may use it for fun, for their own selves. Yeah. So yes, I'm looking forward to that in August. And if you'd like to sign up, that'll be online in another week. So on the Lovendale site, the week long. So you can sign up for the week long ahead of time. And that's always a lot of fun. And we'll see what happens this summer, but for sure it'll be on Zoom. We know that.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about the in-person, how things work out with that.
Yeah.
But again, the church service and
you're a busy lady. You are.
I'm not doing as much teaching as I did. I'm sort of winding down to make more books out of things.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'll ever stop teaching. That's what I came to the planet to do. It used to be math and science and computer literacy, and evolved into spiritual healing ministry. I've trained ministers, and then of course training mediums is my joy.
Yeah.
So that's all I can think of right now.
That's still a lot. So
that's
all
enough.
Good.
Yeah, that's
perfect. Okay. Well, that actually brings us right up to the hour. So thank you so, so much for being a part of today's show, for everything that you're doing and putting out there all of the good in the world. Thank you for that. So I guess we will see you. I was going to make a joke about see you on the radio, but really we'll see you in Lilydale. For those of you who want to come to Lilydale this summer, of course, the official summer season starts, the last Friday in June at noon, with the flag raising, but you are welcome here anytime to walk around, and you are welcome to check out all the class offerings online, and the Wednesday evening healing service, which is broadcast on Facebook Live Wednesday evenings. I guess that's it. So until next, so check out Patricia, what is your website?
PatriciaPrice.com. It's
That's
easy.
Perfect.
And thank you for having me on, Celeste. It's been such a joy.
Thank you. Yeah, so check out PatriciaPrice.com. Check out LilydaleAssembly.org. And while you're at it, check out CelesteElliott.com, because why not? So, all right. Have a great day, everybody. Until next time, I am wishing you a good day and good vibes.
Bye.
Okay.